This is a production of Cornell University.
Employee Assembly Meeting, Wednesday, December 6, 2006.
Nima, I think I just want... Do we have any late additions to the agenda?
I just want to take like 30 seconds to talk about the rules of order stuff after the committee reports, maybe.
Anything else?
Yeah, there's something else I can talk about while we're talking about the supervisor show check.
Okay. Did everybody get a chance to read the minutes that were dated September 6th, 06?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I have a motion to approve. Have been asked about the service therapy.
So I have a motion to approve the minutes after the amended that Bill Bryant was present at the September 6th meeting.
There's another correction. I believe the chili chat was listed under IOC header as opposed to ComCom. I'm not sure if that was wrong or not.
So could I have a motion after the amendment that Bill Bryant was present for the September 6th meeting and that the information about chili chats be removed from IOC header to ComCom header?
I'll make a motion.
Could I have a second? Okay, report from the chair. I'd just like to do a quick around the table for the people that attended the extended meeting, group meeting that was held this week. Donna would like to know what comments you had about the meeting that was held.
What's that, Laura? We might think you people. I thought we got some pretty great input and ideas, especially bringing all the experiences that the other people had from the table conversation.
It's really short.
Yeah. I think all in all, it was good. It was good to get some other feedback, especially from that layer of the staff. I think a number of those folks were still kind of just scoping it out. You know, most of them didn't really participate. I'm not sure. I don't really know if they were fully informed about what it's going to be, you know, all about and how they should participate. But I guess the flavor of it was evolutionary. Anyway, so maybe by the next time there'll be a little bit more.
I think the number one thing I brought away from it was that when we had the chili chats, we didn't focus on the groups that can't attend during the day, that it's always the second and the third shifts that are forgotten. They fall through the cracks, and I think we should keep that in focus for the next.
Mm-hmm.
Don also asked me to remind everyone that on December 20th, Steve Golding's going to be here, and Mary will be attending the meeting. And up on the board, I wrote down Steve's website so that you could become familiar with what he does. On the table, Amy has brought updated lists of names and meeting dates on the paper, so please take one before you leave.
Hazel, correction, those are for University Assembly when you get to
okay.
the vacancy.
Okay.
Those aren't for EA.
University.
But I can provide those next time.
Okay. We won't have a trustee report because Michael is not present. He's in New York. Okay, we'll move on to committee reports on master plan workshop.
Okay. Well, some of you may be aware that last week we had the Cornell University Master Plan community workshops. These were by invitation workshops that involved Cornell staff at all levels, faculty, community members and a few other stakeholders, a little over 100 altogether in four or five workshops. Some of you attended. I'm not sure you were. Amy was there. Hazel, did you go?
No.
You didn't go. And then went. And Dennis went. And feel free to throw anything in, but I had a few email correspondence with Mina afterwards to kind of get her take, and first thing she said is she was truly appreciative of the fact that the Employee Assembly took the lead at finding people to, you know, that had a diverse enough background that covered the different areas of the university. She was very, very happy with the work that we did in finding those people, and she also mentioned that even though comments were fielded from all the different groups, she felt that a lot of the input from the staff was extremely valuable, including some new views that came out that had sort of been touched on but not fully expanded, including issues about safety that hadn't really taken a big safety in the workplace, that hadn't really been addressed by the planners. So she's going to get me a list of some of the new items, and I'll be able to share them with you. Out of this, too, out of the invitations, there's four or five people who expressed great interest in being involved, and I've further invited them to come and join when we ever actually have a first physical meeting of the subcommittee for the master plan, but also encourage them to come to the employee assembly meetings. So as an outreach event, actually, I think it was a good thing. All in all, though, Mina was very pleased with the type and the volume of feedback and the time that was spent, and was also, she noted that it was a very bonding experience, that as a group, the various stakeholders had been met separately, and this was the first time they kind of met in one room, and she felt that was a great milestone to hit. In February, there will be community forums where they will bring out the options and a lot of the work that's been done by the consultants. There'll be three of those. I'm not really sure of where. I suspect there might be one on campus, one downtown, and one further out, addressing all these issues. And they will be, I think, Dennis, in the middle of February. Did you see a memo?
Early February.
Early February.
I keep shifting.
Yeah. So, and that'll be a place where community members, including staff and faculty and others that weren't invited to the workshops, to come in and make comments and observations about the master plan. She also noted to me that this was really the first time that the planning office had started a comprehensive master plan that included input from all the different stakeholders that are impacted by the master plan. And she felt that that the leadership role that we took early on was key to helping her put that in perspective. So it's a good thing. Any other observations?
I'll just add this. I was very proud to be part of that whole process. And there were probably five or six, maybe as many as eight staff members in the section I went to. And they added very good, solid, insightful comments. So it felt really good to be a staff member and to be appreciated by planning office and senior administration. I would say the staff members offered just as insightful comments as there were many VPs in the area, in the section I was in. And they held their own really well, and they weren't afraid to speak. Particularly a woman, I think, he recruited from the library, who has a Thai background. She's Thai.
Oh,
even
sure.
Even though her English wasn't very good.
Right.
She expressed her opinions and was appreciated as a result. So it was a good, really good opportunity for staff to be in light of equity and having someone for themselves.
Anything else? Yep, okay. So in moving forward, I'll be working with Mina in December as to how we're going to participate in the next part. But we've done some good work, and, you know, as far as community education or whatever, I don't really know what role we're going to play. But I think it's been duly noted that the assembly, you know, was involved early and frequently and often. So it's a positive feather to have in the cap. And I'll keep you posted.
All the people that were invited, that were there,
Are they going to have a second invitation of any type? Or just what comes out in the media when you're going to have these meetings?
Well, the community forums are open to anybody, first of all.
Yeah.
So in February, anybody, no invitation, just anybody wants to go. I suspect that there will be another series of workshops of some kind to focus just on various options, because she looked at this series of workshops that we did last week sort of as a testing and proving ground, just to test concepts, you know, proof of concept, see if this makes sense. And they threw a lot on there, but it wasn't, if you all remember, I mean, when Mina made her first presentation, it was kind of, it was very broad based and wasn't quite sure how to describe some things. And they still have some issues about, you know, what to do with sustainability. You know, we picked up on that very early. And I still don't think that they've quite fully defined it, but it's because it's a difficult concept. So I'm not really sure when those will be, but I think once they wrap up the community forums, then they'll move ahead with phase two, which will start in and about that time.
Okay, the Cornell Medical Center that was on the agenda, we're going to move to the next meeting, as well as Supervisor Ratz. Old business EA vacancy fee.
Okay. Well, then we'll get some time.
Just make a comment you want to make about the rules of order.
Rules of order.
Yeah. I had a chance to look through all the rules and stuff because of my new position, so, and you know, we don't really party.
Okay, never mind.
And we don't really have any problems here, so I won't be, I'm going to make a big deal about it. But just one little suggestion. I think we've mentioned it before, just, you know, whenever people want to talk, just like raise your hand or something on the table or over the chairs and call on you. And I know it's been brought before. And usually it's just a stand and, you know, your amnesty, can I speak? But we'll just, you know, do a hand raise. And then for when a motion is made and there's debate, according to the rules, each person only has one chance to put in their opinion. And then the person who made the motion can have a second chance to speak. And then after that, it's done. It can be voted on. You know, if you want to talk some more, you can make a motion to extend the debate. And you have to have a two-thirds majority vote for that, or you can make a motion to postpone the debate to, you know, the next meeting. But basically just to cut down, like, the back-and-forth chatter for in debates, just, you know, each person just throw it once.
And if I may, I'd like to add that it was brought up a couple meetings ago that Amy said when somebody speaks to say who they are,
mm-hmm.
so that it's recognized on the recorder who the person is speaking.
Can I add a comment?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Madam Chair,
I think what Peter says is good, that we start to institute some manner of decorum about how we proceed in our meetings. But I think it's also important to remember that one of the biggest strengths this group has is the ability to informally communicate. And I would request the chair to the chair now and our executive chair and make mention of this in the notes as well to keep that in mind, that the informal nature and our ability to communicate with ease is really important, and somewhere in between making sure that we follow the rules and communicate freely and openly is a good place to be. However, having said that, as we get larger and as our role increases, keeping a handle on time spent and time talking and topics will become more and more important. And some of you are involved in other assembly groups, and they follow a little bit closer to the rule. So that's all I have to say about that.
Any comments?
Thanks.
EA, thank you.
Okay. So in keeping with the new sense of decorum, I'm Andre Ventura, chair of the IOC. And apparently there's been some discussion about how we should fill this additional seat that's open. As you well aware, Christine lost her position at Cornell, and we now have a seat that's open. In the past, and looking at minutes and looking at how we filled those seats, we both followed in the spirit of the law or spirit of the charter by advertising and soliciting. And in other cases, having one or more positions open, we just solicited and had people come in, and we filled them pretty easily. I think it was the consensus of the vice chair and of the chair was to have some discussion about, in this particular case, should we try to fill the position? We have one, in my opinion, as chair of the OIC, a person who's very qualified for this slot, although her employment status is not exactly correct for the position that's open. And Amy, correct me if I'm wrong, the position open is a non-exempt endowed?
We checked the charter, Peggy and I together, to figure out whether, you know, how the rules were and how strict they were. And if her seat was an at-large seat, it would be perfectly fine to figure out a bit of a looser way. But because Christine's seat is designated as an endowed, non-exempt seat, you sort of have to follow that rule a little bit closer. And the payroll band is sort of the first criteria. It's very important to have non-exempt first. And second important would be the endowed or statutory.
Manager, in the past, the only time I really went rigid with the seat designation was at the time of election. Midterm replacements were generally wide open, and then people were rearranged later on. There hasn't been any big concern in mid-year replacements, which we're pretty experienced at. So that's just the way it has been in the past.
Yeah, you want to say something?
No, Joe said.
Peggy, you have a comment?
It's just a matter of how you folks want to go. You know, I think there's something to be said for a consistent process. And if your practice doesn't match your charter, then I think, you know, you should consider looking at your charter and making recommendations for change in that. But I think consistency is important because not everyone has the institutional memory. I think you set yourself up to lose credibility if you're not consistent in the process. So that's why, you know, Amy and I, being relatively new to this, didn't have the context of historical perspective for the charter. And so we report to you what we find in the charter. Mm-hmm. You folks are free to manage that, however, however you see fit. Absolutely. I think part of that has to do with the fact that you were soliciting. And there might have been more than one person, as I was aware of at that time, that was interested in the position, as opposed to just one person. And so that's why we said, well, what does the charter say? So.
Go ahead, Dennis.
Dennis Stein. One comment I would offer, and I'm going back some years with my experience with the Employee Assembly, is some assemblies have taken the tact that when there is a vacancy this close to an election, probably only, what, 4 months away from an election, 4 or 5 months away from an election, they tend not to fill the chair or fill the position by solicitation. The idea is that you can get along with the number of members that you have, and then the equal playing field is the election. So let the person vie in the election for the seat along with anyone else who's interested, because to some extent you're giving the person an unfair advantage by appointing this close to an election.
No matter how qualified
the person is.
The only thing I'd like to point out is just merely there was a statement made at one point that, and I understand that the person we're considering doesn't fill an HR position per se, but there was a comment made not that long ago when we had an empty seat that we're getting kind of HR heavy. We do have three seated members in from HR position, HR department, so to speak, and this person is from HR. Might want to keep that in mind. We don't want this to be an HR assembly. Just something to think about. And we are very close to election time.
Madam Chair?
I say we take a vote.
Just a point of clarification, is wellness just within the
that business? Is part of
that's
the
part of HR. Okay. Number two, the position that she would be filling if she were accepted by the group would end in 08, so it's not a formal position. It's a longer position. I'm not sure that it affects fully the. Yeah. So I guess that's something also to consider. And at the time when I was asking for her for solicitations, that's the only one that came up. I remember there was another individual in the president's life who also was very qualified. I was very active in encouraging him to be involved in the master plan, and then he went off and had a baby. So that changed his life. And under some discussion with Hazel, I mean, we thought it would be good to encourage him just to be involved. And then, you know, if he wants to run for the position, so he sort of stepped back from that. So we went from one to two to one potential candidates. So just points of clarification.
Peter? Amy, could you not put this in record? I think we might have an additional seat available because Janice has not really been able to make it to these meetings, and I think sometime in the near future we might have to make a motion to, maybe not today, but something to an idea of making her seat available for someone who can make it on a more regular basis. So we might have more than one seat available in the near future, so maybe one for vote for election and one for solicitation or something. But I don't want that to be official or anything.
So you were officially in an executive session, and now
if you want to follow the rule, you want someone has to make a motion for executive session, and it has to be.
I don't think we should talk about it now. I just want to make that note. If it makes a difference for whether or not it's agreed for, create someone else in right now as opposed to going through elections.
Linda,
when do we start advertising for the election?
Dennis?
Well, the elections have to be set first. And then we start advertising. As soon as the elections are set, then we will advertise. But there's a whole process beforehand where people have to get packets, they have to fill out application forms and go to a set number of meetings. And that's probably a 2-month process, I think, 6 weeks or 2-month process. So historically, Cochran has started advertising that in February.
I see what you're saying. We're only 2 months away from advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Dennis.
Madam Chair, can I make one other
comment?
And that is, I think that in terms of soliciting, there's informal soliciting, going to your networks and people that you know. Mm-hmm. We have not run anything in Cochran advertising a vacancy, mm-hmm. which is even though in some cases you don't get many takers in there. I think you at least, for purposes of having an open and fair process, you want to at least advertise it properly that you have a vacancy and that you are about to go through the solicitation process rather than the election. And since we didn't run one of those, and Joe was very good in the past about making sure that I knew to run something in conference if there was an opening, going back to what Piggy said, it makes your process a little more clouded.
Joe?
You're just going back in the past breakfast basket. What we have done is midterm replacements were required to submit the same materials that an election would require. And we did usually run at least one little ad in offering, making the announcement. And then we set a date, if we don't get a response, and then we move ahead with the solicitation.
Leon?
Madam Chair, I'd just like for us to recall that the last time we did try elections, that they, in my opinion, were a failure. And prior to that, we don't get that many responses. And once we change our course of action to get more people to participate, I just want us to remember that.
Is
Tori.
Tori Jacobs. The way that I found out about the employee seat was I saw it in Paw Print. I really didn't have too much of an idea that Employee Assembly was around. I found out about it. I wanted to get more involved, and that's how I came to be here. So I think it is a good idea to run it through before we vote on anything.
I really like the idea that everyone suggested about having a newspaper first, even if we choose not to open to have an election. So I'll actually make a motion that if we put in a newspaper that we're looking for solicitations for the vacant position.
Second? I'll second.
Yeah, that would go along with past practice and also seem a little more fair. Even though I highly support Gary, I think we need to go this route.
Agreed.
Okay. Hi. Yes.
So passed.
I should have logged that. No, it disagrees.
Oh.
Well,
you got an idea. Sure. I can't. I like how we can vote on giving you more work than it.
Easy enough.
So, Dennis, if you could send me some copy of this, and then, because we'll have to adjust this, because there'll be this one position that won't be a full term. If I understand this correctly, we'll have Christine's position will be advertised, but it won't be a full term position. It won't be a 1 year position.
Yes, you only have to remain here for sure.
Right.
UA, Tammy.
Hey. I know most of you. I'm Tammy Bishop. I'm the staff chair of the University of Assembly, and we currently have a staff vacancy seat, and it's actually supposed to be for an employee assembly member. We only have one, who's Leon, who comes to the UA meeting. So I come to you to tell you that send out somebody else, or you can open it to the public.
When are the UA meetings?
There's a list right here. It's the very last Wednesday, fourth Wednesday of every month.
Oh, it's third off.
And
sorry.
1 month.
That one is on. This one tonight.
6 months. Yes. It gets moved in December so that all the undergraduates and grad students can attend.
I see.
Plus employees, because we have to be here.
Thank you. So what Tammy says is right. You've been asked before to maybe volunteer, and this is an appropriate place to make the following comments. That's why I wanted to fill the position earlier, is because we need more people on this, on the board. Maybe this individual wouldn't be, I don't know, I didn't ask her if she'd be interested in UA, but in the spirit of getting more people here, it extends our network. I really feel that UA is an important position, but you know, I'm making note that maybe everyone feels like they've got too much to do and out of this board. So we need to extend our reach a little bit further and try to find somebody if we can't throw it ourselves. Peter, are you interested? Did you just
the UA?
Yeah.
I was actually going to ask, like, if you could clarify exactly like what kind of it covers. I assume it covers just all stuff relevant to the university as a whole, but.
Right now we're working on the code of conduct and the crash report. That's pretty big. And the other big thing is academic integrity. So those are big main issues for this year.
I'm sorry, I had to step out, but when do you meet?
Today.
I'm sorry.
Before.
Oh, today. And how soon do you need a decision?
Well, we're trying to fill all of the UA seats because of this crash report and the importance of this to the community. So, you know, I think we've been since October with a vacant seat that, you know, I've written to the execs on the EA saying we need someone, we need someone. So,
can you give us just
now would be nice.
What are the staff members on the
There's Leon, me, Henry, Addison, Rodney,
Rodney still there?
And you meet from 4:30 to 7?
4:30
to 7.
Oh, Joe.
Okay.
Oh, Joe. We're going to talk about that.
Okay. I attended the last meeting, and it's very well structured. The students do a fantastic job. The Leon and Tammy together are going to talk about the Krauss report. It's a real hot topic. There's a lot of different opinions there. I found the meeting to be very informative. I was very comfortable, even with the ones that were for it and opposed it. It was a really good meeting. The guy in the guy that had the comment about President Bush.
Oh, good morning.
The one.
We weren't sure if he was for or against.
Yeah.
Open meeting or closed meeting?
They're all
open.
They're all open.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good question. How do you usually get members for the UA? You don't run elections, do you? Are they all self-appointed?
It depends on the assembly. The GPSA has an election and they send an executive member. The SA is an election for some seats and there's SA people who are on it. The EA, in the past, you've had a little box on committee applications that people can check if they're interested in the UA. But
so it's basically self-selected?
Yeah, there's been, I don't think anybody's ever checked that. But, you know, Henry's been on it for years. It's a good place, you know, for staff if you want to find out what else is going on around campus, because it does cover all four constituencies.
Does anyone have an interest?
Beth, she was interested.
I'm interested.
Good. Interested or you're in?
Well, I can't be there today, unfortunately, is the thing. A little short notice for today. I just got a call. A kid coming home today, so it's kind of like I can't be there today. But, yeah, I'm interested. Unless you need me to be there today.
Yeah. Madam Chair, because it is short notice, if you are willing to become a member, I think that's great. And because if you have other plans, and like this is, you're hearing about this for the first time, would you agree, Tammy, that it's not necessary for her to be today? So just for clarification, and is that a confirmation that, I mean, in terms of process?
I'm looking through this now to see if actually IOC has to make a recommendation. I don't see it where we have to, but for the sense of decorum, I suppose it could.
Or can Madam Chair simply appoint her, or?
Does she have to be appointed?
I don't know. I'm asking a question. I don't know. You just raise your hand and say, I'm interested.
I mean, we did. Last time, we brought up a whole slate. And it was just, we basically rubber stamped those people because there wasn't enough people.
Okay.
So there was not even much of a discussion. It was who was and who still wanted to be.
Interesting.
And then I believe we passed the minute. Do you remember?
If she's not really interested, then there's no real need to
formalize.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Okay, so Beth is going to take the vacancy seat at the University Assembly. Thank you, Beth.
I just have one more question for Tammy. Do people just come because it's new for me? Are they allowed to participate in discussions freely, even though they can't vote? Or are they only just there to watch?
I guess you could participate in media for some. Except for the last meeting, we actually had an open forum, and there were about, I don't know, 50 people who were there.
Some of them might come to some of them, but I just don't think I'd be able to make it every once, so that's why I didn't want to.
They're open meetings, and I would imagine that if you're interested in speaking, you could be recognized by the chair. Mm-hmm. If you have something to say, absolutely, I would encourage you to attend. And as Tammy said, the proposed revisions to the code are a huge topic that are very important to the entire community. And so I'm thrilled to hear that you'll have full representation from the employees on that committee, because I do think it's very important and a very important topic. And so I encourage you to attend the forum too, and when you hear about them, and it's important to hear from folks about it.
Quick question. What is the actual role of the UA in reviewing the code of conduct? I think there's like six major changes or something of that sort, or more.
There's a variety.
Okay. And then,
process, you mean?
Yeah. So let's say the University Assembly says, yeah, these are good, or here's our recommendations. It goes to the President's office.
It's actually in the CJC, which is Codes and Judicial Committee, who has been charged with reviewing the recommendations, soliciting feedback, making a recommendation then to the UA, who then will make their recommendation to the President in consultation with whomever the UA.
By April 1st.
Right.
Short timeline,
so,
a lot of meetings,
especially with the CJC. So it's a series of recommendations then that the President's office can then, and the committee can either change or use or not.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. The Krauss report is an independent report by one person.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the position of the administration.
Right.
It's a discussion.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we're going to talk about that today, right?
Okay, we'll move on to the book reading project. Dennis?
I'll be very brief. I don't have a lot to update you on, other than I have investigated the availability of the builder, and there are some copies available from a printing that was done by the Ithaca Historic Society, which actually printed it some years ago. They have less than 100 copies left. The copies that they have cost $10 a piece. The other piece I have of information is that not everyone feels that this is the best book on Ezra Cornell to read. I think that was mentioned previously. Some of the conversations I've had with folks have revealed that they think there are better books, but I haven't been able to get anyone to say what a better book would be at this point. So I think I was overly ambitious when I was suggesting that we might kick this off on January 11th or try to have something right around the 11th to do this. And it's going to take some more weeks of investigation on my part to determine if there is a better book, what it is, and how much it costs, and what its availability is. So I would probably want to table this and then get some more information and bring it back to the group.
Just a quick question. Is the video that was produced for PBS at American University, was it based on the builder?
No,
it was just used as a resource. Mm-hmm. Okay, because what I was thinking was, it's probably already figured this out, is for those who may not have an opportunity to read the book, they may want to be able to watch the video, because I know there's many copies floating around of the on the video, which I have actually watched, and it's a great documentary, very well done.
Probably something the whole group should watch.
It's
a really good movie.
Well, we should have an afternoon video.
Yeah.
Dennis, I remember the first person that pops into my mind is Nancy Leonard. You know how she does Welcome to Cornell, and she does orientation, and she has such an amount of knowledge about Cornell. I was just wondering if she could be a good resource person for one of the books, because she could tell you everything there is to know about Israel.
I haven't asked her. I've talked with the university archivist, who is one of the persons who has a dim view. I mean, it's Lane Angst. She has a dim view of the builder. And I guess I'm just a little reluctant until I get some more opinions about it to figure out, why don't you go this way ourselves? Or should we listen to those who are more learned and knowledgeable? I think part of her concern is that she doesn't think it's been done in a scholarly enough fashion. She's not saying that the information is incorrect, but it's not laden with footnotes, and in this man's scholarly track, I guess, it's not as illustrious as they would like. But I'm trying to get some more options. to see if there are other books that might be available.
Leah.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to follow up on that suggestion that I think is very, very good. The video, maybe we should have that as, like, open for all staff members to see, or anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that could be part of the book, whatever book is mm-hmm. decided, and perhaps maybe, I don't know if Cornell or the Ithaca Historical Society or some historians in the history department might be also possible resources for recommending a book. But I, once again, I thought that suggestion was really good to formalize it.
Come here. I want to take off on a little bit of what Dennis was saying, and I feel the time pressure here a little bit, because if we're going to take a chance at the surprise birthday party or whatever we're doing on January 11th, which is his 200th birthday, believe it or not, as is, you know, finding something that's easy enough to read. I mean, we're talking, I'm not saying that our staff is you know, going to be turned off by a scholarly book, but in truth be told, I mean, if it's too long and too scholarly, you know what the answer is. It's not going to get read. So even though Elaine and I don't know what school, you know, or historian says or whatever, but I've read The Builder and you know, it's good enough, and it gets more than the flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's a way to hone in on that a little bit easier. But I mean, I've read a lot about Cornell history, and I've not aware of anything that's in that same genre, you know, of easy to read, to digest, and get to know your founder, you know.
Right, exactly.
Sort of thing.
Well, give me another week and a half to figure something out, and then I'll send an email out to everybody letting you know what progress or lack of progress I've made.
Yes, sir.
Madam Chair, maybe it could be that maybe it's not just one book. Maybe it could be a list of books, and people could feel free to read any one they select on the list. And then we're not weighing one is better than the other, or less scholarly or less academic. Mm-hmm. And that's not putting anybody up or down. It's just giving people the choice to pick from a list. They can just randomly select a book that they could be encouraged to read by January 11th. And then maybe there could be several discussion groups on, you know, for each book that's listed, there could be a discussion group of sorts.
That's a good idea. Maybe we don't have to take a unilateral approach to things like they do with the student book reading program.
Mm-hmm.
I'm beginning to think that whatever we do on January 11th should just be that and not tied into the book per
mm-hmm.
se. That I think it's unlikely anyone's going to get to plow through the book in time for the 11th. So maybe 11th is just a kickoff to a reading project.
Yes, Tori.
I thought that maybe it was just me and you talking in the car ride home from ComCom meeting, but we were going to have maybe like birthday cake or something to kick it off.
It was it had been mentioned quite a while ago, and I'm working with some dining managers to see if they will donate a huge birthday cake. I haven't tied the ends of it together yet, but that's what I'm hoping, that they'll donate the birthday cake, and then we can put something like on the paw print flash, come down, have a piece of birthday cake. I mean, it's probably going to be 40 below zero in the snow up to here, but I just think it's a great idea, you know.
And if we share the video, the video will bring them, the cake will bring them.
Does it have to be called a book reading project? Can it be called a learning project?
We can maybe it's a celebration of a week celebration. Recognize that.
Celebrate Ezra.
Oh yeah, celebrate Ezra a week or something.
I know that Tommy Bruce's team is working on celebrating Ezra, but it's going to be, I believe it's in March, and we were just trying to do something that's simple. It doesn't cost a lot due to budget crunches and stuff. So if you get dining to donate a cake, we could just have it outside. You know, people that are walking by offer him a piece of cake to celebrate his birthday. That way you don't have the expense of a room, you don't have the expense of the video equipment, even though the video is a fantastic idea, but I'm just trying to think of something that we could step out there, be the first ones, and it's not going to cost us a lot.
Invite
I think there's enough discussion and ideas about this that maybe it should be put to some committee instead of being, you know, taken out to the
ASR. One last comment here. I agree with that, but I think it's important to make a separation here. And I think Dennis's idea, you know, maybe make that the announcement date and keep a celebration, because the way I understood it, the celebration would be something very simple and the key word impromptu and surprise. And I think that's what we were hoping to gain from it. At least that's what I took from the informal discussions about that. And then launching the book reading thing off of that would be to give Dennis more time to figure it out. I think it just puts too much pressure. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what committee is this falling under, if we're making that suggestion, Peter?
Well, we can create a committee maybe with Dennis and whoever else is interested.
Yeah, so whoever else might be a committee.
Okay. So is this I'm concerned about creating an ad hoc committee with no charter. So what is it that the
make a motion to create? You know,
for what purpose? Exactly?
To discuss Dennis's as his birthday project.
The book or the project? The
project is obviously we don't have any kind of agreement on how it should go about. So I think that's the reason to have a committee to discuss something like that. You know, both book project and events.
So you're in this discussion. You're saying we should have a committee to discuss all matters related, including the book promotion for the 200th birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And just a quick note: the agenda says 100, so that would be embarrassing to let that come up.
Yeah.
About 200 years.
Second 100 years was looking at.
Right.
Okay, so Peter made a motion. Does anybody second it?
I second.
So anybody who's interested in helping with the ad hoc committee for the party? Surprise.
Peter?
I know, I made the motion. But
all right. Now I'll jump. By email, right? Yeah. Okay.
Andre, Peter, Dennis, Leon.
And Hazel.
I really like the idea of a surprise birthday party.
Yeah.
I like that idea a lot.
And myself, Amy.
Got it.
Okay, new business. Cross report. Code of conduct.
As I guess we're all aware, or should be aware, that the cross report is... very controversial report. Initially, as some of us know, President Rawlings asked that the code of conduct be taken a look at, and just in terms of who this code actually affects, just some numbers, and I'll start with us first. In terms of staff or employees, annually, there's about 13 cases, or 2%. Faculty, there's 4 or 1%. And students, 800 or 97%. So although this code...
Wait. 97%? How did you get...
Of all the cases.
Of all the cases. Okay, so we have 3% for employees, 1%.
2% for employees, 1% for faculty.
Thank you.
So the code, the initial report by Barbara Krause has been released, and there's a lot of controversy. I mean, it's just, first of all, it's a report. It has not been accepted or approved or anything like that, and it's open for discussion and feedback from all the constituencies, faculty, staff, and students. And I don't know if you've had time to look at any of it or not from the emails that I sent. At the open forum, Tammy was there as well. It came to a point of where there were so many people giving testimony against it that one of the members of the UA, I'm not sure if it was Randy, Wayne or one, he did ask, is there anyone present that is for these changes? I guess, Hazel, you were there too.
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't believe anyone came forward.
Very crickets. Nothing.
So one of the students, who's a law student named Andrew Cohen, Callen, I thought he gave a very riveting testimony. And in fact, he had several points to cover, but there were a couple that he, just in terms of time, he did not. So he went back to sit down. But I thought it was so important that we hear everything that he had to say that I asked him to return to continue his testimony. And I have actually sent you today, before coming over here, I actually sent you his testimony as well as a letter from three faculty members that are very concerned about the report. Mm-hmm. So you'll have this actually when you get back to your office electronically as well as in hard copy. But if you, you know, just read through this, it'll give you an idea of what, in general, most of the people were, why they're very concerned about this report. So I am thinking that what role, if any, should the EA play in this? And I think that maybe the best thing to do is to first take our time and read through everything that we can about this, as well as perhaps even when President Thornton meets with us at some appropriate time in the future, some appropriate meeting, to even ask him what it is exactly, so we're not trying to second guess from him what he's looking for. I did ask him, actually, if because there was so much controversy about this, if he was, if his working group, if you will, was trying to co-opt the assembly, their position on this, or whatever that is. They haven't actually determined a position yet. But in any way, he said no, that was not his intent at all. And I take his word for that. But anyway, that's what I have to share with you. Tammy, you want to add something? And Hazel, you were there as well. You want to add anything to this?
No, basically it's for the forum. But just so someone of you all has some background information, the code of conduct is actually owned by the university funders. They're the assembly who votes on the changes to anything that's in the code, from sanctions to changing the word the to of, or anything involving the code in the UA. So we knew that Barb Krause was working on this and making changes, but we didn't know how severe some of the changes were going to be. So that's why a lot of people are such a controversy about it.
Quick question.
Go ahead, Joe.
I just have a couple of questions. I was under the impression that it was President Lehman who gave Barbara Krause her, what's the term I should use, her orders on how to proceed. He had a concept of, I thought he is one that had the concept of changing it, and she was told to do it. My other question was to you guys who were there, was everything was bad, or was there one or two things that didn't get discussed? I mean, you just throw the whole thing out.
I think generally it was. I think generally because it was such perhaps an initial shock, if you will, to such radical changes that initially I think the thought was to throw the whole thing out. But maybe now that things are calming down a little bit and people are, you know, beginning to really discuss that. I don't know if it, in the end if it'll end up like that or not, but initially I think it would throw the whole thing out. But it remains to be seen what if any of these changes would be even accepted. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So
I attended just that one meeting, and in my own personal opinion, I feel that 90% of the committee or the community that was there was upset that the UA wasn't involved as much as they should have been from the very beginning, because they are the one that basically control it. So I think a lot of the it wasn't really hostile, it was just opinions, was that they wasn't involved from the very beginning and they were undermined, is the opinion that I took away from the whole meeting. So, Andre.
Some of us may not have even enough background, because, you know, when I've brought up the idea of the Krause report and
with some of the folks in my division and in other discussions, I don't even know. So maybe a couple of questions just to clarify further. Barbara Krause is who?
Was. She's no longer at the Institute.
Okay. And what was her role then, and when was the report produced?
I believe she was on the president's staff, and she was appointed to do this report, so like full-time to work on this.
The president, meaning Jeffrey Lehman.
And
Barbara Krause was the JA for a while.
She was the JA.
But not at that time.
No. No. Then, when President Lehman came in, he appointed her to be a senior advisor. So she remained a senior advisor until he left. And then when interim Rawlings she remained a senior advisor for a period of time. And then I think it was recognized she was probably going to leave the institution. And this was a task that was given her as she was moving out of her senior advisor role.
Mm-hmm. And this was a number of years ago?
No.
And last year it was completed. She actually came and talked to this group.
Yeah. She did complete the report, before she left, and she gave it to Rawlings, who I believe said, hey, since the new president is coming in, mm-hmm. I'm going to pass it on to him.
Right. Well, part of my concern here also is that, if I understand it correctly, the president's office with the current incumbent is very concerned about this report and has put a lot of effort at saying we need to be attentive to these changes.
We need to look at and consider them. It doesn't mean they're going to become that they'll happen, but let's take a look and discuss what she recommends.
Has the current president weighed in at all on the importance of this report? I mean, has he said anything at all?
So the Krause report was completed. She turned it in last year, or this year in April. Mm-hmm. And we just got notice a month ago, or a few weeks ago, when that email came out to the community. That's when the EUA first heard that we have until April of 2007 to reply. So we're kind of like,
reply meaning make recommendations to the changes that were proposed.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And he's made up his own working group with senior administration and no other staff or faculty.
And that working group is also reviewing the changes.
Yeah. And so what the UA is asking is that working group work with us to review it. Okay. And there are two separate.
Okay. Hmm. So just to clarify,
or some people even think the working group shouldn't even exist.
Right.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Mm-hmm. What's the purpose?
Puts it in good perspective. Yeah. So what can the EA do other than a representation at the UA? What can be the real?
Well, before that's answered, I think that those links that I sent, I think I sent them to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you read through those, okay. and this is mm-hmm. not the time to decide,
mm-hmm.
actually become knowledgeable about this
mm-hmm.
report, okay. and then I think we can discuss it later to see what role, if any, we should play.
Is there an mm-hmm. executive summary of any type about
I haven't seen it.
One page,
but the report is only about 30 pages, 40 pages.
What happened to the executive summary?
There's an executive summary in the report.
Okay, there is.
Yeah.
Okay, that would be helpful too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, that's 11 or 12 pages.
Right. Okay.
And you have, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I'd also like to point out that there was a Chronicle online article about it.
I sent it.
Okay. And Cochran is planning to do a longer article on it, either in our December edition or our first edition in January. I have somebody on the Cochran editorial board who's really doing some research. Our question is, to what extent do these changes impact staff?
Mm-hmm.
They certainly seem to impact students in a large way.
Mm-hmm.
But do these changes, these suggested changes, really impact how staff will be treated by this code of conduct?
Tori?
Well, from reading through all the stuff that you sent me, which took all morning, thank you, it looks like, I'm not quite sure what happened before, but it looks like what they do is that now if there is an issue with a staff, their supervisor or the HR rep is going to be notified. So I think my concern is, what if you have a really good relationship with your supervisor or HR rep, will it stop there? Or if you don't have a good relationship with them, will it kind of go further than it needs to go? If something's not
like iffy. Mm-hmm. I think that was my only concern. Well, there was a couple more, but that was my big issue when I was first looking at the course.
Well, and some staff have written to me asking about the anonymity of, you know, if there's some kind of misconduct, you know, it goes to your HR rep or your supervisor. So, you know,
I kind of like having somewhat checks and balances where you have somebody who's kind of out of the position that doesn't really know you that can kind of analyze the situation by getting information instead of.
The biggest proposal of the Crouch Report is that the DA's office would no longer be independent, where right now it's its own office. Under the Crouch Report, at least we moved into Susan Murphy's realm. So, you know, it's almost as if, okay, I don't work for Susan Murphy, but it becomes almost like your boss is then your judge and your jury, because it's all.
And that was voiced a couple times by students that work for Cornell University, that Susan Murphy is their boss. Then, you know, they would be judged based on Susan Murphy, not the J.A.
Also, Madam Chair, there's concerns, too, about due process being stripped away from students and the right to remain silent being stripped away. Some of these are more legal things where they are protected legally now, that they would be removed. So, like I said, I recommend that for us to have a good discussion. I think if we all read and became more aware of what's going on with this, then we can determine what road, if any, we want to travel or what direction we want to go in.
Tammy, is DOA planning on having to have a official discussion about the Crouch Report, like final discussion, like tonight or in January? Like, when do you guys intend to like make some sort of decision? Like, for example, we wanted to come and be present for that meeting so we could participate in the discussion. How
we've given kind of the minor details of it to the Codes and Judicial Committee to work out, since they're the ones who they're the group that proposes the changes to us to make. We had a forum last week, and we'll have another one for the community. And I'm pretty sure every time we meet, it will be on our agenda.
If I might just add a bit to Tammy, they're meeting today, actually right this minute, from 1 to 3. And they are arranging a timeline for meeting deadlines.
We've asked them to give us a report by March.
Okay.
Something.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact.
So, you know, I can definitely let the EA know in that final report when we're going to discuss it.
And also, Madam Chair, I would think that perhaps, depending on where we want to go with this, if we want to open it wider to our constituents, that maybe we could. There's nothing that would prevent us either as the EA from having open forums on this as well.
I think before we engage the staff, we might want to take a look at how in-depth it affects the staff. Because you said it was, what, 2% of staff is actually a...
4. General, it averages 4 staff.
4 staff members a year?
Per year.
Yeah, it's really so few staff that actually go before the JA per year.
There's 13 staff,
4 faculty. There's 13 cases, 2%.
13, yeah.
Yeah, 2% a year that actually go before the JA, because we usually get hauled off by the police. So maybe we want to look at that, take a look at the actual Crouch Report and discuss it before we, maybe then put it on the agenda for next meeting before we go out on the list or
the you know, past that here, but I just don't kind of know we can't really afford to have any forums or anything, so maybe via email or something, but not any official gatherings.
Yeah.
Yeah,
before we actually do anything, my point was before we actually address, because I know that it's already being, publicized to the staff before we endorse it any more from the EA's point of view. We might want to know more about it ourselves.
I think the first step is to look at it, become familiar with it,
personally, and then
right.
And that's what I was saying too. We're saying the same thing.
I'm sorry.
The other thing too that we can do is we can talk to our constituents.
Yes.
Although probably, I think, like Andre said, a lot of them might not have had even heard of it. But those that we can engage them and just talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I wasn't saying go hog wild on this thing. I was saying let us first ourselves become educated and see what we want to do from there.
Okay, we have 5 minutes. We have a meeting coming in at 1:30, so we need to wrap this up at 25 after. Could we go around the table? Does anybody have anything to add for the good of the meeting? Yes, Beth.
I just wanted to, for informational purposes, I think we found out that staff was very interested in child care information. I was wondering if anybody could tell me off the top of their head if they knew what that number was. From the Chili Chats. I seem to have misplaced in my move from East Hill to Thornwood all my information, and I can't find the website.
What the results exactly?
What the Chili Chat results were, the child care. I know that the staff was very interested in the child care. Is that being an issue for staff?
Do you have your report with you, please?
And while you're researching that, it's interest of time. Yesterday, a George Peter Wolf Dedicated Services was awarded to Tina Wolf in the Warren Hall meeting room. And on December 19th, we're all invited to a reception at lunchtime at the Hall of Fame room for the next George Peter Awards with Blair Gavin Stewart.
But don't forget
this is the top secret
lock that time.
It was an easy
initial. You may have already had an email invitation.
Yes, Peter.
Really, I've kind of discussed this, but I just want to kind of make the EA aware about this, that there's a kind of really big disparity between the EA's and Mary Opperman's impression of what the supervisor chats are going to be like.
Yep.
And because we intend for them to be just for supervisors, and Mary intends for them to be open to everyone, and there's a very substantial difference between that. So I just want you guys to be aware of that, and hopefully we'll have a chance to discuss it tomorrow. And have an opportunity to discuss it. But if you have any opinions about that or whatnot, just email, or questions, just email me, Hazel, Don, or all of us about it. Sorry to bring it so late the last minute, but.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second. This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.